Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tutorial, a gaming podcast for everyone. I'm Nick, joined by my fiance, Alicia.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's good. We've been together all day.
Yeah. That is what happened today. We have been within 10 feet of each other.
We do that a lot.
While pooping.
Pooping, washing our hands after pooping. We shouldn't
start the podcast off with poop talk. We can end it, but definitely not start it.
Yeah, we'll save this for the end. So, gaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Yeah, so I guess the point of this episode is to kind of go into a little bit of history. Not like too boring of history, but also kind of defining gaming and what it is today. So yeah, we can kind of start with a little history lesson, Nick, if you want to.
Of course. And for any new listeners, or for those who didn't watch our intro,
mm-hmm.
Listen to it, because we don't have video.
I hope not.
I'm an experienced gamer and Alicia is not, so we're attempting to provide a dual perspective, mm-hmm. on gaming, and that way Alicia can ask all the questions that maybe you guys and girls are thinking.
Yeah.
And we can try to answer them. And
also, if you guys are listening and you are like, that is wrong, please fact check us and just let us know in, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I'm experienced, but I'm not an expert.
Yeah. So this is just two people who want to talk about gaming and, mm-hmm. and what it's all about.
So the history of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's been around for a while. I know a lot of us know Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of other companies started making consoles before them. Did you know that?
Yeah. No, I did. I mean, I did, but I didn't.
You did, but you didn't.
I mean, I'm sure there are other things that happened before.
Yeah, like the arcade machines.
Yeah, arcade that machines. That
can technically count. It's not a home console. It's a gaming.
Okay.
But it's not a home console. We're going to primarily dive into home consoles.
Okay.
Today. So let's go back. Let's go to the first one. And in my initial research, I was wrong because I thought the first console was an Atari.
Uh-huh.
And I was incorrect. That is the first ROM-based console. So basically,
what is ROM?
So ROM is read-only memory. So basically that means that the Atari can independently run games. So if you put a game cartridge into the Atari, it'll run that game.
Okay.
The very first consoles had the games built into them. So they weren't modular in the sense you could put a game in.
Gotcha.
You can only play what was on the box.
So like I bought a Mario console.
Yeah, so in theory, if you bought a Mario whatever Mario game console, mm-hmm. you can only play that game on it.
Oh, okay.
And I think, you know, someone fact checked me, but I think these ran pretty high prices back in the 70s. I mean, these were kind of they were the first, and they were luxury items.
Okay.
Yeah, high luxury.
And that's like what you could play at home and stuff.
Yes. Yeah, so
if you were lucky enough.
If you were lucky enough. So two of the big ones were Magnavox and the Intellivision. And I think that company is still around today.
Oh, really?
I don't think they make consoles. If they do, they're just making retro consoles.
Okay.
But those were the first two. And they kind of kicked off this era of gaming. And it wasn't until Atari came in,
mm-hmm.
that game systems started becoming modular.
So did arcade games exist before these, like, one-off home games?
I believe so.
Okay, and so they were like, let's package this arcade, because, like, you know, Pac-Man, that's, like, that's the only game you can play on that machine. Mm-hmm. They're like, let's package this up and put it so everyone else can, you know, have it at home.
Yeah.
That's probably what the mindset was behind that.
Which was probably a pretty... I mean,
this is me speculating.
I'm sure you're right. And I'm sure it was a pretty big feat at the time, because
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming a lot of technology went into an arcade machine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not only big because you're a person standing at it playing it, but I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it to actually make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of
package it.
Package that into a small console.
Yeah. How small was it, though? Because, like, you know, those computers.
I mean, what is small, you know?
That's what all guys say.
what's your definition of small? I mean, it's probably bigger than, it's bigger than consoles now, I'm assuming.
I'm sure. Or did they all of a sudden just become ginormous? Okay, well,
the consoles stats. Now, looking at you, a PS5, you look like a spaceship. You don't look
okay,
right.
Okay, the Xbox isn't doing much better.
But it's pretty, at least. It's,
is it, though?
I think it's beautiful.
Oh, wow. Well, you guys at home, look up these pictures and tell us which one is prettier.
Yeah, whether the Intellivision or the
PS5. Oh, I was talking about the Xbox or PS5.
Oh, one versus the other?
Yeah.
I think Series X looks better. I think it fits in more with...
Because it's a square.
much like myself. It fits in with an entertainment system, whereas a PS5 will always look like an alien. It'll always look like a spaceship.
But it just, okay, the Xbox just, okay, this is a whole nother debate that maybe we should just, we can continue later.
That'll be episode 42.
Okay, look out for it, guys, if we make it there.
So, okay, back to the Magnavox, mm-hmm. and Intellivision. So those weren't modular. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, and I'm using modular in the sense that.
Games, plugging in different games and playing.
Plugging in
things.
Games.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the Atari came around in the mid-70s that cartridges started to exist. Mm-hmm. So these are they're ROM-based cartridges is the technical term for
okay.
it. And that's where you see like your portable Pac, essentially a portable Pac-Man. Mm-hmm. You had your Pac-Man arcade machines, but this is Pac-Man that you can put into your console. You can play it at home.
Mm-hmm.
You got Pac-Man, Space Invaders,
yeah.
Miss Pac-Man.
Those, like, classic old
all
games.
The classics,
yeah,
all the ones that you'd go into an arcade and you'd see those games.
I guess old, and that's quotes for me. For us,
we weren't alive.
We were
in
not
the 70s.
Alive. Heard about it, you know, sounded like a great time.
Yeah, arcades sounded pretty fun in the 70s.
Arcades are still fun these days,
but they're dirtier now.
Yeah, everything's,
or they were dirty then and people just didn't
sticky.
care.
Oh, true. I think everything is dirty now just because of.
But you're right. Everything is stickier.
Yeah.
I think everything's just
stickier.
Sticky now. go to any bar, just stickier.
Sticky.
So speaking of stickier, then we reach the 80s.
Nice segue.
So a funny thing happened in the 80s. And I really didn't know this existed until I did some research, but there was a gaming market crash in 1983. Similar to the housing market crash.
It's exactly the same. It affected millions of
people.
The
same financial impact. So yeah, pretty much the same as the I'm just pulling up my nose. Pretty much the same as the housing market crash.
Okay, so what happened?
Pretty much there were too many developers, there were too many games.
Oh.
And
like too many modular games.
Too many cartridge based ROMs,
oh,
or ROM based cartridges, or whatever you want to call them. And not enough people to play them because the market was pretty small. Like the market was pretty niche.
There's like five people playing,
yeah,
and they're
like,
"There's too many."
Like your uncle was.
Yeah. It's probably because like they were so expensive, and so not a lot of people
yeah.
were able to get it in their homes. And so, like, not all people bought the games and, you know, it just became saturated because there were not a lot of consumers.
Yeah. Like, not only was the Atari expensive, but each game, I mean, it's kind of crazy how inflation
mm-hmm.
hasn't really impacted video games, because video games back in the day, they were $80 or $90.
Really? And, like, that's interesting because, like, I mean, games now kind of cost the same. That, like, 80, 60, 60
bucks,
yeah.
70 maybe now.
Yeah,
but
back then, $80, $90 is probably, like, a ton. It's probably, like, $120 to us now. Probably more than that.
Maybe,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
Yeah.
I have no
maybe
concept
it's, like,
of...
dropping $200 on a
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you're going to play that game for the next...
Ever.
For the next ever. And then just imagine, you know, all these other companies...
Yeah.
Trying to throw games at you.
That's
and you're
so
like,
interesting.
Man. Yeah.
That's interesting that, like, since all these games existed, like, the prices didn't go down because of competition. I mean, it's probably because of the new technology that it, like, that it was using, that it's just like, it's not, it hadn't, didn't get to that point yet of like, oh, this is now accessible by a lot of people.
Yeah, it probably just cost so much to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And since the user base wasn't too high, they're like, we got to milk everybody for all we can get. Yeah.
It's like, you know, the pharma companies nowadays. Well, big, we are bringing a lot, of different things into this.
Yeah, so screw pharma. So after the crash of 1983,
mm-hmm.
this is where Nintendo comes in.
All right,
they came in, they saved the day, they made gaming cool again. They made it great again.
This is coming from a guy that loves Nintendo, by the way. He is a Nintendo super fan.
I owned a Wii U, if that says anything. I was one of 12 million.
That seems like a lot of people.
The Switch just sold 100 million.
Wow. Yeah. Do you think there's more people now?
In the world?
I don't know.
No.
But anyways, he is a little biased towards Nintendo, but I'll keep him in check for you guys.
Yeah, so Nintendo Entertainment System, that was Nintendo's first console. Nintendo actually existed before they made video games.
Mm-hmm.
They were a card manufacturing company.
Card?
Like card games.
Like card. Oh, card games, like just like any kind of card game.
Yeah. Hanafuda was one of their games.
I have no idea what that is.
It was on, you know, Clubhouse Games?
Yeah.
It was one of the games on there. Oh, we never played it. I played it by myself, but we never played it. But they actually stopped marketing that game because it was associated with crime back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it was...
the crime lords played it?
I guess
it?
The Yakuza played a lot of Hanafuda.
Wow.
Like, we got to get out of this.
Can't do it.
There's crime happening over there.
Interesting. Okay, so they made like playing card games.
They did. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So what made? Oh, you're not Nintendo. You're not. We'll get someone from Nintendo to come in and comment on.
So after, well, based off of my interview with the old president of Nintendo,
we're gonna get sued for like slander.
I don't know why they went into video games.
That's interesting.
They probably. I mean,
they probably had an R&D like section that did that, and like. This is me. Just keep going. Never
I mean, probably. But the entire foundation of Nintendo is based off of not doing something out of necessity, but doing something based off of a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And, I mean, that's kind of where the Nintendo Entertainment System came from.
Mm-hmm.
Or the NES, for sure. That's what
NES.
Everyone calls it. That had Mario. It had the first Zelda, Donkey Kong.
Was this also cartridge?
This was cartridge based.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it was 8-bit, which means you only had 8. I think it was like you had a very small color palette to choose from.
Oh wow.
I think you only had 8 colors. And you had to do with it what you could.
Skin color.
I'm sure a blue.
Mario, so red, green.
Red and brown, definitely.
Yeah, for the mustache.
For the mustache, yes.
Is this black or brown? This is like a Mandela effect.
Well, it's black.
Mandela
it's black
effect.
Now.
You speak brown.
Is it? huge fan. No idea what the color of his mustache is.
Is he a brunette? Do the current
He is a brunette.
What? Okay. He's a brunette, or is it black?
I think as technology advanced, they were able to give him more
saturation.
More saturation.
I don't think that's how that works.
I don't know. It's...
Anyways,
so Nintendo comes along. They make the NES. It's super popular. And another company called Sega. Sega, right?
Never heard of them.
the creators of Sonic. They came along and they made a few consoles as well. And they kind of battled it out for popularity in the 80s. And, I mean, they were kind of going... toe-to-toe, kind of going head-to-head. You know, the Atari was kind of falling off.
Mm-hmm.
people didn't buy an Intellivision anymore, because why would you buy an Intellivision?
It's $10,000.
I'll take six.
And it takes a whole room. I have no idea. I've never seen this.
We're just imagining, like...
You go into the game, actually. The reason it was so expensive, and people came in and acted out the...
Oh, people came into your house?
Just kidding.
Let me write that idea down.
Going off on another...
Live action games. Yeah, so that's the 80s. I mean, 80s, I wasn't around, so I don't know much about it, but
we weren't around.
Yeah, but it sounded great. And then we hit the 90s, which is one of the best decades.
You're so biased over here.
Unbiased. I mean, we get the PlayStation mm-hmm. comes in, they're like, what's up, guys, here's a cool console. And it has a disc.
Is PlayStation Sony still at this, like,
yes,
okay, so Sony,
it's always been Sony.
So Sony came in and was like, ayo,
because
I feel like Sony had like DVD players during that time, the night. Well, I just remember having like a Sony DVD player,
and maybe that's why they were so inclined to put their games on a disc.
Yeah,
and that was a big transition going from cartridges to discs. Mm-hmm. Because I think they ran faster.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they had more memory on them necessarily, but there was definitely an efficiency there that, mm-hmm. you know, Nintendo didn't see until the early 2000s, because they had the Nintendo 64, and that was cartridge-based. And I don't think Sega got into discs until the late 90s, maybe the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. So during this time, PlayStation was kind of on top of its game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pretty revolutionary with breaking discs and then having really cool games. They had the first AAA title game.
What does that mean?
So AAA, it just refers to the budget of the game, essentially.
Is there like single A, double A?
There's really just double A and AAA what I know.
Below double A, we don't care.
Yeah, get out of here.
We don't even classify you.
It's like batteries.
Yeah.
No one. Yeah, it's just like batteries.
It's exactly. So
AAA. So AAA, they had the biggest budget. The first AAA. But it's the
smallest battery.
Yeah, but it's the smallest battery. And.
Are you sticking with this battery?
No, I've gone on.
Okay.
You're still on it, if anything.
I'm trying to get the listeners to, you know, really
AAA this. Has more letters, so that means the budget
is bigger. Do you know what the A stands for? No? That's okay.
A-A-A.
I don't know. We got more money.
So, the first AAA game was Final Fantasy VII,
okay,
for the PlayStation 1, that had a budget of between $40 and $55 million.
Wow.
Which for the time, I mean, for now that sounds like a lot,
mm-hmm.
but back in the 90s that was probably a metric ton.
Mm-hmm.
Shit ton. But games now cost $500 million to make.
Wow.
I think Halo Infinite had a budget of 400 or 5 million.
Do they still use this classification system?
They do. Still AAA. One studio even added another A quadruple A studio.
Okay, but if things are now 500, or has it like scaled with inflation? Like, does a AAA back then mean the same thing as a AAA today?
I think there are a lot more AAA games now.
Okay. It's just more, it happens more often.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like essentially every first party title from Xbox, Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
and PlayStation is a AAA.
What do you mean by first party title?
First party means that either Nintendo, PlayStation, or Xbox. So those are the console manufacturers.
These are like the top big dogs.
Yeah. So first party means that they're making those games for their console.
Uh-huh.
So like,
oh, okay.
Xbox makes Halo.
Yeah.
That's first party, but Ubisoft makes Assassin's Creed and they put it out on every console. That's a third party.
Oh, okay. I see.
And then there's second party, which is where you kind of own that studio, but not really.
Okay.
You kind of like outsource games to them.
Yeah.
But you still have that exclusivity to your console.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Where were we? Oh, Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
I've never played it, but I have the remake.
Okay, I was like, you have some Final Fantasy.
I played Final Fantasy 15 last year.
15?
Yeah. They've come a long way.
That's so many.
Yeah, the numbers
don't... Is it the same?
No. Every story is different.
Okay.
There was no point in having a continuity in name, like, in titles.
Oh, really? Not even this, like, the same.
The combat system's the same.
Okay.
And it's a fantasy setting,
And, like, the aesthetic of it.
The aesthetic.
The characters?
No, I don't think any of them...
Okay.
Maybe one or two.
Is the world the same? Like,
I don't think so.
What?
Yeah, I've only played a handful. I've played, like, Final Fantasy 3, Final Fantasy 15.
Wow.
10.
That's interesting. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Cool.
Good games, though. And then that's kind of the 90s. I mean, mm-hmm. PlayStation, they entered. Sega's dying as a company.
Yeah.
As a console manufacturer, I should say. They put out, their last console was the Dreamcast. And I don't, it's, yeah, cool name.
Cool name.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know.
Like Xbox?
Do you think that's a cool name or do you think that's a...
I was kidding.
That's a very 2000s name.
Xbox. I guess so.
Xbox. But, the Dreamcast, it did not do well at all.
Why?
It was up against PlayStation.
Okay.
Nintendo 64. I think the PlayStation 2 either came out or was about to come out.
Yeah.
And that was huge because it had a DVD player.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cheaper to buy that than to buy an actual DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Sega stopped manufacturing consoles at that point, and they switched to being a third-party developer, where they're making games for pretty much every console now.
What games are they making? Like, you said Sonic earlier. Or no?
They make Sonic. They make the Yakuza games.
They're back.
Back on the Yakuza again. They make a little bit of everything. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. Life is Strange.
So they're a studio now.
They're a studio.
Okay.
And they were developing games before, but they mm-hmm. just also developed consoles. And one thing I forgot to mention about the 90s, and it might have been the late 80s, but please someone correct me if I'm wrong. But did you know that a VR console actually existed?
I'm sure.
And it was by Nintendo.
Really?
Yeah. It's called the Virtual Boy. And you can see little boys.
Boy. Oh my god.
But it was kind of weird because it had like a little, it was like a tripod and then almost like a little camera thing that you look into, like a headset mm-hmm. that you look into, but it's just sitting on this tripod. And it tried to create these like stereoscopic. That might be the wrong term.
Like hearing with you're seeing with sound.
Oculoscopic. Not an expert.
It's okay.
Someone needs to turn left.
Someone needs to get out of here.
Wait, two lefts and a right. Is that?
I think they're just struggling.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I don't know if you can hear it, but there's someone out there blasting their GPS for some reason and driving around. So we are about four floors up and we can hear someone's GPS from the street downstairs. That's how well insulated our windows are too, by the way.
They're really bad. And we live right by a fire station.
Oh.
Which I'm surprised the fire truck hasn't gone off.
So you lucky... Good luck charms here.
you luckies. You big lucks. So
that was the 2000s?
That was the 90s.
That was the 90s.
That was the 90s. 90s was cool because, and I forgot to mention this, but that was, yeah, of course, forgetting to mention all these things. But this is really important because the 90s is where 3D graphics started.
Okay, I need you to explain 2D, 3D...
So 2D, imagine...
I've seen like a 3D movie that's like coming at you. That's, but okay, that has not happened in a game yet. Probably has, but...
I don't know. I don't think so.
They should. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, 3D is not in the sense of movies, but 3D just means the world is 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Any game that you've watched me play recently.
Yeah, it's all 3D.
It's pretty much all 3D.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I'm trying to think of
like
a game.
Like Pac-Man, where it's like flat and you can't really go into it.
2D.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Any side scroller where you're right. just going left to right.
Right.
That's
like up
2D.
And down.
Or yeah. up and down. That's yeah. that's 2D.
But the games where you have to like change your view in order to like go see where you're going. Is that
Bingo.
Not? Okay.
Bingo. That's pretty much any game.
Any game that I struggle with.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at camera control. I don't know if it's just a me thing. It's probably not just a, I mean, it probably is just a me thing. But I see.
I'm sure there are a lot of people.
So like when you're playing as like the first, like you're a first person character, or I mean, you could be third person too, but like you're going in and out of rooms or whatever. Yeah.
That's 3D.
Yeah. That makes sense. Cool.
Yeah.
So 3D games are starting to come out.
Yeah. Nintendo kind of pioneered it with Zelda,
oh.
Ocarina of Time.
Isn't that on your top something list?
It is. Yeah. It is. It's in my top 10, I think. That and Mario 64. I mean, a bunch of 3D games came out on the 64 that were kind of pioneers in the 3D space.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the big thing that happened in the 90s. And then I can kind of skim through the 2000s and 2010s because those were so recent. But big things in the 2000s, HD gaming. So
okay.
higher resolution, which
yeah.
isn't as exciting as 3D.
It's a little less complicated. I mean, not less. I don't know. I'm not a developer, but it sounds a little less complicated just because, like, you're not having to completely add another dimension to your game. It's like, we're just, like,
you just press tweaking. The HD button. And
instead of 780.
Goes from 480 to 720. Yeah, so that was big. We started to get kind of, like, downloadable games in a sense where mm-hmm. you couldn't download, like, a full game on your Xbox, but you could download indies. Smaller titles. So like
okay, so there's just a limitation on like how big of the memory.
Yeah, because hard drives are really small.
Yeah.
And then of course we saw mobile gaming with the iPod Touch.
Yeah. So at this point are you still
yeah.
people are still getting like discs, right? Like
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Every console that's out in the 2000s, so the Xbox and then the Xbox 360, PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3.
Would you count the Wii as part of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The GameCube, which had smaller discs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the Wii, which that was a thing, and that was kind of a world of its own because it had motion controls, which was completely new.
Yeah.
And that was kind of revolutionary in its own way.
Okay, so, but GameCube, I remember this. Like, mm-hmm. was it, that's Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they did that, and then they also came out with the Wii.
They did the GameCube first,
yeah.
So that was the successor to the Nintendo 64.
Okay, which was cartridge.
Which was cartridge.
Okay.
So this was their first right. disc-based
mm-hmm.
Console. And then they went to the Wii.
Yeah. When did they do the handhelds? Like,
I didn't even mention the handhelds.
Yeah.
They started those, I think they had their first Game Boy in
yeah.
the late 80s.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And then they had Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
And then they went to Game Boy Advance in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all cartridge based.
But like no other console has gone like the handheld route, right? Like not like I know PlayStation had the PSP at that one time.
They did at that one time and a couple other times.
Really?
Yeah. So they had the PSP. Then they had the PSP Go?
Yeah, they had like a better version of it.
And then they had the PS Vita. And that one was actually good.
PS for life.
For life. I didn't own that one.
Okay.
But I heard it was really good. It mm-hmm. didn't sell very well because the 3DS was out and that was super popular. That
mm-hmm.
was Nintendo's handheld at the time.
And it like I feel like Nintendo had like a following before them like with the first handheld
with the Game Boy
sorry. With the Game Boy.
Yeah, with the Game Boy.
So they had the following of people like, oh, I like these like handheld games. That's cool. And then they like, they were kind of like early on in that. And then PlayStation was like, hey, what about us?
And that's a good point you bring up, because I'm about to bash on PlayStation a little bit.
Oh, God.
They tend to take Nintendo's ideas kind of, you know, a year or two later.
Mm-hmm.
After the Wii came out, they had the PlayStation Move, which was like, you know, the same mm-hmm. kind of thing. And you're looking at me like, don't bash.
No, I'm like, what is, I don't even know what the PlayStation, you said PlayStation Move?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know.
When I had the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
Those little things.
The little dildo looking things.
Yeah. With the balls on the top. Those are what you use to like move your arms. But those were used way before the PlayStation VR. Those were used in like in Nintendo Wii-esque
games. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So there was that. I mean, there was the PlayStation Port, the PSP.
Yeah. Oh, that's what the P stands for?
Portable.
Oh, they said portal. Oh, okay, portable.
That would be cool, though.
That's
cool.
Yeah, I didn't, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And okay, so now let's do a status quo. Like, what's going on now? What are you seeing?
Now?
Yeah, like since we already did the 2000s, let's go to the now. Or is there more between then and now?
Those are the 2010s.
Okay. I forget that is a thing.
That's a thing.
Oh, no.
That's okay. 2010s, we saw a lot of like all digital consoles. So the Xbox had an all digital.
What did Microsoft come in?
They came in the early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey.
They're like.
And it was like Xbox. It was like the Xbox was like the first thing.
Just the Xbox.
Okay.
And then the Xbox 360 and then the Xbox One.
Okay. Where?
We're the Xbox Series X and S.
Okay.
But
right now we're 2000s. Or oh, sorry, 2010s. What are you calling it?
2010s.
2010s.
That's what the young people call it.
Oh, okay.
The 2010s.
Yeah.
Think. Yeah. That's kind of where the Xbox One, PlayStation 4,
mm-hmm.
the Wii U falls in there.
PlayStation 4 was in the 2010s?
Yeah.
2010s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it came out in 2014.
Okay. I feel like it's newer than that, but just that's just because it's still happening right now, kind of.
That generation was longer
mm-hmm.
than the other ones, but yeah. So you had the Wii U, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and then the Nintendo Switch,
yeah,
as well. And all those consoles are very different. Wii U was kind of its own beast. Nintendo Switch kind of took that and made it better.
So was it Wii and then Wii U?
It was Wii and then Wii U.
Why did they do that?
Because it was a really bad idea. Because not even...
So, okay. I don't know if people are probably knowing. People know the Wii. It's the ones with the like the control hand controllers. The
motion, yeah.
The motion detector. Motion detection. And then Wii U also had, it was like a combination of a handheld and a console, I would say. So you had a screen on this like a tablet almost. Yeah, it was like a huge tablet, like very thick. You just say game pad?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a big pad. And you could like see on your, there's a little screen on it and also a screen, you could see it on the like your TV, you can plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very interesting combination situation that they decided, because you could take the Wii U and not plug it into your TV and still play, right? Or no,
only for some games.
Yeah,
for some, yeah, you could just play handheld completely.
Interesting.
But you'd have to plug up the
yeah
it didn't all run from the gamepad.
They're just testing something out,
it seems like. It
that's kind of their thing, you know, does it work or not, you know.
Yeah. And then the Switch was just like, hey, let's
not do that.
Well, let's make it better.
Oh, that is kind of, oh, yeah, you're right. Because
it's still
oh, wait, that is so right.
A mix of both, but you can actually play 100% handheld, yeah. Or 100%
okay,
docked.
So I always think like the Switch is like a completely handheld, but it's like totally, it's not. It's like it's a console with, that is interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, was a crazy time because I was reading about all the rumors of the Nintendo Switch and everyone was just like, that sounds just like the Wii U. It's going to fail. It's going to fail again. And then it comes out.
I wonder
out.
what makes it better. I mean, obviously it's better, but like what made it so much better that people adopted it so quickly?
Well, the fact that you can bring it anywhere.
You could do that with a Wii U, no?
No, you needed to bring your console
and
plug it into an outlet.
Oh, so you just sit by an outlet.
Oh, well, yeah, so to speak.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But with the Switch, you can just
plug go anywhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why the Wii U failed.
Interesting. Well, I think like, didn't work. They built it out, kind of. They built an early Switch, kind of.
And it had cool ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from you know, those four consoles, there was VR that kind of came into fruition.
So VR is a completely another company, or was that?
Yeah, that was other companies.
Oh, okay.
HTC.
Oh, okay.
I think Valve did one. PlayStation did a VR.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook
had any VR?
It's Oculus.
Interesting. What did you have?
I had the PlayStation VR.
Oh, okay.
And now I have the Oculus Quest 2.
Okay, so this is a second version of what already existed. Oh, I didn't know they had one before that.
And they even had more powerful ones that plugged into a PC.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh. This was the first fully portable one. Yeah. The first Quest.
And now that you mentioned PCs,
what's up with them?
I guess we're pretty biased. Mm. I'm not we.
You're biased.
What are you I don't even have an opinion in this fight. But Nick only plays console games and not really doesn't really play on the PC. And PC means personal computer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, like that was something like I never said out loud and just thought in my head.
I'm gonna go get my personal
And so we're pretty biased, and probably one day hopefully we can bring someone on with a different opinion about it, and so we're not completely shutting them out.
Yeah, but no knock on PC, but aside from playing RuneScape,
yeah.
And I don't know, Yahtzee on the computer.
And there's like the pinball, the space pinball machine.
On the PC?
Not on a PC, just any computer.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, like the...
Those
mini games,
Mini clips.
I think there was a website that had a bunch of like free games on it.
Oh, like trials yeah. Like you would play in school.
Yeah.
And like the teacher would be like, stop.
He'd be like...
No. And like the stick figure that would just like be doing shit.
Yeah. There was like that animator where you can like animate a stick battle.
So we're not going to talk about those, but we can bring someone on to talk about those games.
Yeah. PC is not our wheelhouse, but.
We'll bring someone on. Yeah, for sure.
Give a background of PC. I mean, PCs, it's always been modular. You can always change everything about it.
But it's an interesting take on all the games that are happening. Like, I feel like it's diverging from console games now, but that could be a hot take.
I feel like it's...
Converging. Okay.
Well, just because everything's on everything now.
Yeah, because everything's like connected now.
Every Xbox game is on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Even PlayStation games are coming to PC.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like exclusive PC experiences.
Okay.
That I know of. I don't own a PC. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gaming PC.
But more reason to bring more people on and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much the 2010s. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from like free to play games. And battle royales, which were pretty big, and that's like the 1v100 games.
Oh, okay.
Like Fortnite.
Okay. That was 2010s. That's right.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
2016 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But those got huge, which means microtransactions got really big, and pretty much sucking the consumer for anything you can.
And microtransactions are, that's like those, like, you can buy like a cooler gun or like a nice cool hat.
Or you can play as The Rock in Fortnite for $20.
Yeah. Or, okay. And it's like those kids with like their parents' credit cards and things like that.
Yes. Spending $500 on
Fortnite. I've heard skins. So many stories about that.
That's bad. Yeah. I mean,
it's smart. I mean, it's a good business model.
It's like the whale. It's the whale model, right? Where you get one person who's going to spend $4,000 on your game. That's where they make their money. Well,
really?
That's where they used to make their money.
I think now it's just like if people, like, you get a bunch of people to buy like one item, like, you'll make a lot of money.
Yeah. Like Halo Infinite, they put out cat ears, mm-hmm. like little, you know.
Yeah.
Cat ears for your character. I think that was probably the best selling item they put out.
How much is that?
It was $20.
Oh my gosh.
Or it might have been 10.
Either way, that's cat ears that you can't wear in real life. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know, more power to people. You do you, you know?
As long as it doesn't.
If you want to wear cat ears in your game, you wear cat ears in your game.
Yeah. So that's the 2010s. And that's in a nutshell. Obviously, a lot more happened.
Yeah.
But this is only one podcast episode, so
we'll do the state of now eventually, like talking about the current dynamics within the gaming industry and things like that. That'll be coming up as well.
Yeah. Because, yeah. The 2020s just started.
That's
a lot.
That's really interesting, just thinking about the decisions of these companies that are like what they're making and stuff. So
there's a lot of pivoting that goes,
which is cool.
That goes on all the time.
I think, which is a really cool thing about the gaming industry, or the console industry at least. Like, they're trying to keep up with technology. Not keep up. They're actually like probably engineering a lot of the technology that we use today on a day-to-day basis too. Like, it's just cool, the evolution.
Everybody's trying to use the blockchain.
Nope.
No one wants them to. They're just, that's a,
what does that even mean?
I don't know, man. They're doing it with NFTs, and it's funny because, and this is the last, this is the only thing I'll say about it on this episode. But in the past like 2 months, there's been a pattern of a gaming company saying, we're going to put NFTs in this game. And then they receive exponential fan backlash. And then maybe like 3 days later, they'll be like, after further considerations,
we're not doing
NFTs. And this happens. It happens once a week with like companies in general or specific games, and they always go back and like, why not just skip the step where you get the backlash and just don't do NFTs to begin with?
But like, maybe they're just trying it out. I don't also,
but no one, yeah,
we can go into the, I mean, this should totally be another episode of like, I don't know if we can talk about like NFTs in general and like how it could affect gaming, because I have no idea what they are. I do, but I don't. And that's what everyone said. Like, everyone's like, yeah, but no. So yeah. We should definitely do some research, or at least bring someone on that can explain it to us.
And then talk about how it could be beneficial for gaming, because from what I've seen, it's not.
Yeah.
But that's my perspective.
Right.
And others.
Yeah. And I'm over here very open-minded, just trying to understand all of this.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the...
I guess that's the end.
And then end of the first episode.
Wow. We did it.
Thanks for hanging in there, guys.
Yeah, from the 70s to the now.
To the now.
We'll talk more in detail on the now.
Yeah.
In another episode. You guys are living in it, so. You know what's going on. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Mm-hmm. We're just planning on doing, like, specific topics.
Yeah. Any questions that you guys might have, I don't know where they're supposed to let us know. We'll have a forum eventually, but let us know, and you know, we'll try to address them or make an episode about it, see what people want to know about.
Exactly.
So
we need a place for people to contact us.
We do. We'll get that set up right away and we'll let you know as soon as we do.
As soon as we know, we'll let you know.
Yep.
God, we're so prepared.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to Tutorialed.